Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Don Callen coming to you from South Central Washington State. It's once again a good day to praise our Creator and give glory to Him. And we just do that right at the beginning. It's sort of like you start to thinking of any of you that have remember the prayer that's often called the Lord's Prayer. It starts out with praise and thanksgiving and glory. It says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed," or that means holy, great, wonderful is your name. And so it's that's the way we start, and that's the there's two versions of it in the Bible, one of them just ends with deliver us from evil. The other one goes on, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And it ends with praise. So that's it might be a hard thing to do, but it's a uplifting thing, not only for giving glory to God, but it also lifts our souls. And it's a good way to start and end each day, is to look to our Creator and give Him praise. And it's not, the Bible talks about offering a sacrifice of praise. Well, sometimes it's not easy to praise Him for the things that happen during the day, but you praise Him for Him. It's not for what has happened or what hasn't happened. It's giving praise to our Creator. And what happens then, that ties us in with Him and allows Him to come into our lives and work, not only changing us from glory to glory into His image according to the Word of God, that's what the Holy Spirit does, but it also allows Him to inhabit the praises of His people according to the Word of God. In other words, He can come in. He's not out there anymore, but He can come into our situations and perform miracles. And not only just in what we think of perhaps changing us, but actually changing the circumstances, changing what's happening, changing the problems. And we give praise to God for that, He's not just a giant clockmaker that wound up this clock years ago and wound it up and then went away and checks back maybe every few million years or a few days or every once in a while. But we look to the Word of God that says, in Him we live and move and have our being. And so, if He withdraws His Spirit, there would be no life in the universe. There would be everything that He created that has life in it would cease, and there wouldn't be any life left in it. So we have about 3 weeks ago, we were in Galatians. The following week, there's some technical difficulties. And last week, the technical difficulty was my voice. So we've missed a couple of weeks. One time from outside circumstances, and one from me. If you ever get to Canada, years ago, I was up there, and my wife, I talked to her on the phone, and she had just heard something on the national news. And a national news program, I don't know if it was ABC, CBS, or NBC, but they covered this story on this drug that they had in Canada. And it wasn't a prescription, it was just over the counter, and it was called Cold FX. And I happened to be up there at the time going to a conference, and mentioned that it was exceptionally good, that it would knock out a cold in 3 days. And So you can't get it in the United States, as far as I know. At least you couldn't back then, and I haven't seen it here ever since. But if you do happen to go to Canada, you might write that down. It's just spelled cold, C-O-L-D, and then F-X. And you might look for that in the drugstore. It's a little bit expensive. It cost probably about $18, $20 a cold to knock it out in 3 days. But $20 or even $15 to $20, what's that compared to 10 days that you'd normally spend, cut it down to 3 days with a cold? And so that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Save a lot of misery for just a few dollars. And as far as I can tell, just what I've used on myself, it does work. And so I just want to bring along that tip of information. So if you happen to be going to Canada someday, find a drugstore and just over the counter, ask them for the cold FX and what shelf it's on. So, is that a little plug? I'm not getting anything for that, except I've gotten relief various times over the years. God bless you. I want everybody to be blessed that they, in every way they can be. And that's what God wants. His desire is that his son, Jesus Christ, might be glorified in the earth. And but along with that, he wants you mightily blessed. You see, Jesus came and he was moved with compassion and moved with love towards us and the state of life we were in. And he wanted to change our lives, that he wanted there to be an eternity with us. Now, we've just got a few short, you think of our life, might be only 20 years, might be 70, 80, 100, but it's just a breath in time, one breath out of a lifetime compared to eternity. He's concerned about you. He loves you. And, but you see, he's made this world in such a way and his relationship with man that he's taking to heaven only those that want to go, only those that desire him, to be with him. And so I hope that's your desire. You know, there's only two kinds of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. So the question to each one of us is, are we one that knows that we are saved, or are we one of the ones that are about to be saved? Well, that's what he wants to do. He wants you to have a relation with your eternal creator that will never end, and in a blessed relationship. And if you can't say already that you know that you're saved, then I just ask you to repeat this after me. Yeah, that's right. Repeat it after me loud enough that you can hear it with your own ears. Just say, Father, creator of everything, forgive my sins. What sins? Oh, well, it's sort of, you know, that's missing the mark. It's, if you shoot a bow and arrow at 100 yards away to get to the target, and if you don't hit dead center on the target, you miss the mark. You might hit the target, but it's off of the mark. Well, my goodness, the Bible is very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also tells you something terrible. The terrible part is that the wages of sin is death. It's separation, basically, from God. But God has made a way for you and for me that we don't have to be separated, that we can have eternity with him. That's because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That's why we just come to him and we say, Father, forgive my sins. And you see, he's just and righteous. And he's the one that is the one that loves us. And he's willing and wants to forgive our sins. It's us that may want to do our own thing, but it's his will that he bless us. But there's a requirement. It's a matter of wanting him, desiring one that really loves you more than anybody in this world could ever love you. So don't pass it up. Something that he greatly wants to bestow on you. So just ask him to forgive your sins. Then you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Does that make sense? Well, not necessarily. But you see, you want God inside of you. You don't just want him out in creation and around, but for us to be joined with our Creator, we want him inside of us. So let's do that. We tell him, Father, forgive our sins, and we say, Jesus, come into our heart. Oh, God, come into me. Then we say to him and ask him in Jesus' name, we say, make me the kind of person you, my Creator, wants me to be. I want to be what you want me to be, because I don't know. I mean, I've gone along this life a long time, and I know my decisions for myself keep missing the mark. And so, yes, he gave me a mind, he gave me emotions. So there's the mind, the intellect, and logic on one side. There's emotions on the other side. There's a bunch of people that just go by the intellect and some just by the emotions. But we are called to repent. Pent is the penthouse. It's the highest thinking. Well, that means we got to get God into our thinking. Well, to get God into our thinking, we need God inside of us. For God to come inside of us, we need to ask him to forgive our sins and to come into us. Then we need to ask him to make us the kind of person that he wants us to be. That's right. So just say that out loud. You say that out loud. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, God Almighty, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you, my Creator, wants me to be. Then be sure to be thankful. Say thank you for saving me. Well, today we are getting into Galatians. We left off in Galatians. We just ended the last part of chapter 5. And we've also been, the last 2 or 3 weeks, been occasionally quoting from another book. And that doesn't have anything to do with the book of Galatians, except it glorifies God. And that is a book called The Final Quest by a prophet. I consider him a prophet anymore. Anyway, I don't know that the book calls him a prophet or things about it calls him a prophet, but I would consider him a prophet. A person that God from time to time would show him visions and dreams, and this is over a period of some time, many days, I think even maybe months, that he was taken to heaven, and he was able to see so many different parts of heaven and how things were from God's point of view. This battle that's going on in the earth, because there certainly is a battle going on in the earth. There's forces of good and evil going on, and it's getting much more intensified, because it talks about that at the end times that the enemy, or Satan, or the devil, knows his time is short, and therefore he comes down to the earth with great wrath. And so he's trying to do everything he can to disrupt things, bring more havoc and everything. You see, years ago, the dominion of the earth was given to man, but man, shortly after that, gave that dominion over to Satan. And because of that, we've got this stupid clause in insurance policies that if there's an act of God, well, it's not an act of God because he gave dominion over the earth to man, and man turned it over to Satan when he sinned. So it's really, really crazy that we should call it an act of God. It's actually an act of the curse that's on the earth that Satan has placed there. And so we turn around and blame God for the bad. And when actually every good and perfect gift, according to the Word of God, comes down from the Father of lights. That comes down from our Creator. Now we know who's the father of lies, and he's the one that only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So we need to be sure that we get our accusations right. When something wonderful and blessed happens, it comes from God, and when something evil happens, it comes from the other source. This guy named Rick Joyner happened to be able to have the privilege of God taking him to heaven, and he was got to meet several great saints of God. He was very surprised that some of these people were in the lowest part of heaven, still mighty glorious, far more glorious than anybody could even imagine, begin to imagine on earth. It's interesting to hear some of the things that they said. I'm going to perhaps quote from two or three pages, little short paragraphs or part of a few sentences, two or three sentences from each page, and just share with you. It's once again called The Final Quest. And I think the publisher is Whitaker House, Rick Joyner. And I think they might also go under another name, Morningstar Publishing. I'm not sure if that's correct or not. But let me read this to you. It says here that this is one of these people that had accomplished great things in the earth as far as great reformation and setting people free in lots of ways. And he happened to end up being in one of the lower places of heaven. Well, why in the world did that happen? It was so strange for this. Rick was very surprised that he would be in that part of heaven. Let me read this to you. It says, I was given more talents than almost anyone here. And I buried them beneath my own spiritual pride and ambitions. Just as Adam could have carried the whole human race into a most glorious future, but by his failure led billions of souls into the worst of dooms. With authority comes responsibility. The more authority you are given, the more potential for both good and evil you will have. Those who will rule with him for the ages will know responsibility of the most profound kind. No man stands alone, and every human failure or victory resonates far beyond our comprehension, even to generations to come. That's a mighty statement to think about, that the things you do, we often justify and do things of ourselves and think we're not affecting anybody else. But yet, if it affects us, it shapes our lives, which then shapes the lives of countless others. So, let's skip down and perhaps pick up another little bit to read here. It says, had I sought the Lord instead of knowledge about him, catch that? Sought the Lord instead of knowledge about him? Well, just before we go on, just let's think of back in history. it's good to review some history of people that knew a lot but didn't know God. And that was the scribes and the Pharisees at the time of Jesus. Many of them had memorized much of the Bible. They had memorized it word for word. We can't even, it's hard to even think about such a thing today. And yet, I just heard about somebody that had memorized the entire Quran. But yet now, he's turned to Christ because of his relationship, as far as there was something lacking there, even though he had memorized word for word the entire Quran, could repeat it all back in Arabic or whatever, and or in English. And so, but yet there was this longing, and realized that the word of God was the true word, that there was power in God, in Jesus Christ. But here it says, had I sought the Lord instead of knowledge about him. So the Pharisees had knowledge about God, but Jesus himself said, if you had known Moses or obeyed Moses, you would hear me. And they had shut themselves off. They had hearts of stone. So they knew about God, but they never knew God. So we, as people here, we bear not to rely on our intellect. We need to use our intellect because it was God-given. We need to exercise our intellect. We were given emotions. God has emotions as well. We need to use them. It says, like in the Bible, that don't let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath. In other words, don't hold it in. Or keep it to yourself, that you need to have forgiveness every day, that there might be a right standing between you and other men and women and children or parents and with God. So had I sought the Lord instead of knowledge about him, many thousands who I could have led successively would have resulted in many more millions being here right now. This is talking about in heaven. So remember, we just mentioned before that the things we do resonate throughout history, and instead of things just affecting a few people, maybe just we think of ourselves or just our families, that it may resonate and affect hundreds and even thousands and even millions more right here now. So when it says many more millions being here right now, you have to remember, they are in heaven. They cannot lie. They have the mind of Christ. So the mind of the eternal creator, God Almighty. So what he's saying is absolutely true. It's impossible for anybody to lie in heaven. So what he's saying, that there would be, instead of thousands, millions of more people there would be saved if he had sought after knowing God rather than just things about him. So let's continue reading here this one little brief thing. It says, anyone who understands that the true nature of authority would never seek it, but only accept it when they know they are yoked with the Lord. The only one who can carry authority without stumbling. Never seek influence for yourself, but only seek the Lord and be willing to take his yoke. My influence did not feed your heart, but rather your pride and knowledge. This is what he's referring to this man, to this Rick, that what I did, I was wrong. That my influence did not feed your heart, but rather your pride and knowledge. So this great man had directed him in a way that really did inspire him, but it inspired him to know more, to have greater knowledge, rather than to have a heart after God. You see, if we have a heart after God, we can have much more eternal influence towards other people and drawing them to our Creator than just having a knowledge, seeking after knowledge itself. We look at the book of Proverbs, and in the book of Proverbs, we see many things. It keeps talking about having knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Well, we've all met a lot of really bright, full of knowledge, dumb people. And sometimes we've been one of them. And we might get filled up with knowledge, but not have understanding or wisdom. We've got all this learning, but what good is it? Because it doesn't change things, or it changes things in the wrong way. So we need more than knowledge. We need more than understanding. We need of wisdom, and not just wisdom of men. You see, all those are progressions of good and better and best, supposedly best, but then what's going to last eternally? That's what's really counts. That's far beyond anything else. Because all these other things, the Bible talks about that coming before the throne of God, even those that are saved, that they're going to come home, or come there with their works. And a lot of it's going to be counted as wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to be burned up in the fire. But some things are made out of precious stones and gold, silver, things that didn't get burned up in the fire. Well, everything that we do that is out of our own desire, like a social worker that is trying to do good but not having no thought of God, is doing good works, but it's wood, hay, and stubble. We want things that last eternally. Well, we can't do that in and of ourselves. So it's not the matter of knowledge. It's the matter of knowledge is fine, but we have to be looking to our Creator to change that knowledge into something that gives life. You see, if there's no life in it, then it's not eternal. We have to be tied in with our Creator so that there is life, that there might be that element of eternity. This is why this guy said that instead of affecting thousands or even hundreds of thousands, he could have affected millions, and he was telling the truth because he had the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and he was speaking only the truth. And because he's speaking only the truth, what he said was true, and we need to take notice that we need God in our hearts, and we need God in our minds, that we have been given a mind, but that it needs to be subjected to God, that we need to not rely on it. We need to be thankful for it. We need to be thankful for our emotions and our intellect and our logic, but not to rely on them, to have them as a piece around us, but to rely on the Word of God and that He is a God of the living, not of the dead. You see, He said He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not used to be, was when they were alive. No, He is now, because you and I are eternal. And we want the God that is eternal, that loves us and wants His kingdom expanded, because He only desires good for you and for me. Now, it says right down here, there's another quote here, it says, I was continually shocked that so many whom I expected to be in the highest positions in heaven were in the lowest rank of the kingdom. Many shared the same story. They had all fallen to the deadly sin of pride after their great victories, or fallen to jealousy when other men were anointed as much as they were. Others had fallen to lust, or discouragement, or bitterness near the end of their lives and had to be taken before they crossed the line into perdition. They all gave me the same warning. The higher the spiritual authority that you walk in, the further you can fall if you are without love and humility. Wow. Let's take note of that. Here's all these great people that, by earthly standards, had accomplished great things. So they knew the essential thing that got them to heaven rather than hell. In other words, they knew God Almighty. They knew Jesus Christ, their Savior. They had even been great leaders that had brought and been effectively brought people to the knowledge of God, and yet they ended up in the lowest area of heaven, which is still fantastic beyond any belief. But why? It was because of the sin of pride. Well, we start thinking, what was the original sin? There wasn't any sin in the universe, in all of creation. Even before creation, there wasn't any sin until Lucifer started looking at himself instead of God. He was the divine, as far as the great choir master of heaven, or giving up praise and thanksgiving to God. He was created a little bit different than any other creation. He started looking at himself and seeing that, my goodness, I'm the greatest of the creation. And he started looking more at himself, and he got pride of how great he was. That's when it said sin entered. That's sin. He basically created sin, separation from God, when through his pride, he created that sin. Because that's where the sin came from, separation. Trying to separate oneself from God. This is this is a deadly sin of pride. Well, that destroyed so many. Well, here's people that actually, you see, they are in heaven, but that destroyed much of their life. Now, we see also another thing was jealousy. Another thing was lust and discouragement. My goodness, you think of that. So many of us are guilty of that, even though we might not be guilty of other things. You see, the sin of pride and jealousy was to these people that had accomplished so much. They were jealous of other people that were accomplishing things. In other words, they wanted to be top dog. The sin of pride that they were the top dog, or lust that they desired, whether it was a lust after greater power, or whether it was a lust after perhaps a sexual lust, or some other type of lust of money, or just influence, or glory, or honor. Here's this, the matter of bitterness and discouragement. Well, bitterness is unforgiveness. Well, my goodness, we know that from the Word of God that if we are not don't forgive, then we can't be forgiven. Oh my goodness. That's what Jesus said. If you read we read in the Lord's Prayer, in that same chapter, three times it talks about forgiveness. And it says, if you don't forgive, men their trespasses, passes, that your heavenly Father won't forgive you your trespasses. Oh, that'd be terrible. I don't want that. So we have to learn to forgive. Discouragement, what is the opposite? It's to be strong and courageous. That was the commandment of Moses to Joshua when he, the general, to when he went into the promised land. Joshua was a man. He was a servant for most of his life. He was a servant, always going around being a servant to Moses. Because he was a servant, you see, being a servant made him a great leader. He was watching after this Moses that kept looking to God. He was Moses' servant. When we think of, well, you gotta be this constantly become greater and greater and greater and being more and more filled up with pride. No. Here's a person that is serving another, blessing another. That's what qualified him to be a leader, because he was a great servant. We look at Jesus Christ. He became, instead of being in heaven where there was no pain or anything, he came down because he loved you and me. And he came here to be a servant. You see, he's coming as King and Lord, absolute ruler over everything, but he came first as a humble servant, filled with love and compassion, that he might show us the way that we might be united with our Creator. So that's the glory of Jesus. His great love for you, his great care for you. He wants you made whole. He wants you spirit, soul, and body. He wants you to have an eternal destiny with him instead of apart from him. He doesn't want you separated and to end up the same place as those that were filled with pride and are have a destination that is totally separate and is so totally horrid that it's unspeakable and unknowledgeable, because we in this lifetime can't even imagine such horror. But that's what it is apart from God. God has something very wonderful planned for you. Don't turn away from him. Embrace him. Embrace the one that loves you. So we see here bitterness. We don't want that. We want forgiveness in our lives. And we want to take courage, not discouragement. And it's so easy to be discouraged or bitter. We can turn around. It's sort of almost two different sides. We might be on one side and blame everybody else and be bitter, or we might basically blame ourselves and be totally discouraged. And neither one is right, because both are looking to us. Instead of looking to God and giving him praise and giving him glory, you see, it's only then that the power of God can come into your life. It's as we give praise and thanksgiving to him. Well, if we want our lives changed for the good, then we need to be concentrated on him. And that allows him, it opens the door for him to come and change us from glory to glory into his image. Now we look at the bad side. Let's look at the good side. We see that why people were in the lowest rank in heaven. Well, let's see what had happened to those that on the opposite. It says, I began to meet some who had overcome. I met couples who had served the Lord each other faithfully to the end. Their glory was unspeakable, and their victory encouraged me that it was possible to stay on the path of life and to serve him in faithfulness. Those who stumbled in many, many different ways, but those who prevailed all did it the same way. They did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, loving the Lord. By this, their service was done to him and not to men, not even for spiritual men. These were the ones who worshiped the Lamb and followed him wherever he went. So what's the essential we see there? We saw from the other section was that it said that that if you had these places of being high or lifted up, that it says that meant you could fall further. Except how was that done? If you didn't have love and humility. If you had love and humility and you were yoked together with Jesus Christ, yoked together with God your Creator, then you could go through that those places and not fall from pride or jealousy or lust or discouragement or bitterness. But it took being yoked to God, looking to Him, and filled with His love and humility. Here it says on the other side, it says that many stumbled in many different ways, but those who prevailed all prevailed the same way. They did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, loving the Lord. We think of what the first and greatest commandment. Jesus said that. It's in the Old Testament. We see it 2, 3, 4 times in the New Testament. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's what the first and greatest commandment is. And we see here, that was how those who prevailed and had the highest place in heaven was those that loved the Lord with everything they had. They worshiped the Lamb, it says, and followed him wherever he went. And so their service, it says, was not done to men or even spiritual men, even godly men that are wonderful, but your service is to God, to Jesus. So whether you've got a terrible boss, a terrible somebody else in your life, or a terrible situation, don't take that relationship and think that you're having to work for them. Turn it around to having the right perspective, the Word of God perspective, and that is to serve in a way that it's serving God, serving the Lord. And that is how victory is made eternally. Well, this is Dr. Don Callan, and we've didn't get too much of Galatians done today, but we were just finishing up the last time in Galatians, we're finishing up with chapter 5. Now, Galatians, the book of Galatians, is not one church. It's to a group of churches that were close together in what is modern day Turkey, or considered minor Asia Minor. Now, this was the towns of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and you see these towns listed in, if you read the book of Acts and the journeys of these major Christians. Well, this was happened to be the journeys of Paul when he was preaching, and you see, he had the commission from God Almighty, from Jesus Christ himself, to go and spread the gospel to those people that weren't just Jews, but to the non-Jews throughout the Roman Empire. So he was going about doing that job. Well, this letter happens to be to these churches in this area. So this would be a letter that would be sent to them that they would probably copy and to the various churches in that area. Well, we had seen come to the end of chapter 5, and we saw the last from chapter 16 on. It says, I tell you then to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that's where we spent the last 5 minutes of last time, and that was saying that, you see, we've got to keep our mind right centered. Okay, where's right centered? That's as far as the things of God. We don't have to be concerned so much about not doing evil. If we fill our mind with the doing what's right, and not just doing what's right, you see, there's three different levels here. The one level is thinking on everything that's evil. Then there's thinking on just trying and trying and trying to do what's right. But then the other thing, the third thing that few reach, is the matter of thinking on God and praising Him and worshiping Him and walking in the Spirit. What happens in walking in the Spirit is you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then those things, those fruits of the Spirit, it's just like a tree out here that's in the orchard that it doesn't think about doing the good things like producing a bud, producing a flower, producing leaves, producing a small little apple, producing a bigger apple, producing a giant apple, and a wonderful tasting apple. Does it think about that? No. Well, that would be the good fruit. That would be, so it's not trying to produce thorns or thistles on the tree. No, because it's not busy trying to not do that. It's not busy trying to produce good things. It's just, it's in the presence of the sunlight and the water and the blessings of God. It's got its mind, if it had a mind, on God. It's not trying to do those things, because you see, it's natural for that tree to do it when it's tied into the root system and into the ground system, and the nutrients in the soil, the nutrients in the air. Actually, most of the nutrients that come into the tree happen to be airborne. We think of the fertilizers on the ground, but it's what's in the air comes in through the leaves, and the leaves feed that tree. And so we look here, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry, sorcery. Another word for sorcery is drugs, because that is the same word. It's pharmakia, which is drugs. So when you think of sorcery, you're thinking of both demonic activity, but it's also like a drug cartel or something that is trying to control people. You see, drugs or sorcery, demonic activity is trying to control people. One's through a spiritual realm, and one's also spirit, but it's through drugs, controlling, influencing, changing people's perspectives so that they can't think or that they think wrongly. And that's what sorcery is. Hatred, contentions, jealousies. This I'm reading further along this list that we started out, since these are works of the flesh, which are evident, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is that whole big list of things, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. You know, the selfish ambitions, all of us have had that from time to time. And it's just desiring what we desire and wanting it regardless of what God may think or other people. So we don't, this is part of the works of the flesh. Dissensions, as far as disrupting things, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we start thinking, oh, well, there's all these things in here, and we might think, well, my goodness, I've done a lot of those, maybe not all those, but and if you've done those things that you won't inherit the kingdom of God, then we're all doomed. Well, we are. However, it says practice those things. Well, if we are walking in the Spirit, we can't fulfill those things. In other words, we're not practicing those things anymore. Now, we might fall from one time or another, but it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we ask for forgiveness, He is willing to do that for us. So if you do any of those things, that doesn't mean that you're lost. It means that you blew it. You're human, that you have sinned. You've fallen short of the glory of God. It means that, yes, the wages of sin is death, but that death was taken by Jesus on the cross. He took it for you because He loves you. Now, what does it say here? It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You see, we're not going to concentrate on the negative. You see, it says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh and these other things. Why? Because your mind's already set on God. You see, you're already desiring Him, so there's not room to think. Lots of people say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Don't concentrate on that. Concentrate on God. Concentrate on the good things. Here it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. You know, some people just have a sort of unnatural, ungodly sense of provoking each other. They just have a strange sense of humor that they just want to get other people riled up. Well, it tells us right there that we're not supposed to do that. Don't provoke somebody else. Don't envy them. If we're walking in the Spirit, there's not room for this other garbage. And that's what it is, because it's death. It's death. All these other things are death. They work death in us, destruction in us. It tears down our spirit, our mind and body. It separates us from our Creator. It works death, death, death. But God wants to give us life, life, life. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's long-suffering, kindness, goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. God wants you blessed. Let us walk in the Spirit, and the Word of God says, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we don't concentrate on the negatives. We concentrate on God. And when we concentrate on Him, loving Him with everything we have, then God is blessed and glorified, and we come along with Him and enter into the goodness of God. One last quote that I've given you before a few weeks ago. The high calling of God is not out of reach for anyone that the Lord has called. I will tell you what will keep you on the path of life. Love the Savior and seek His glory alone. Everything that you do to exalt yourself will one day bring you the most terrible humiliation. Everything that you do out of true love for the Savior to glorify His name will extend the limits of His eternal kingdom and will ultimately result in a much higher place for yourself live for what is recorded here in heaven. Care nothing for what is recorded on earth. God bless you. This is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And I trust next week we will finish this book of Galatians and cover chapter 6. And we love you. And boy, God really loves you. Remember, all we need to do is say, Father, forgive our sins. Jesus, come into our hearts. Make us the kind of people you want us to be. Thank you for saving us. Goodbye. We'll look forward to being with you again. Bye-bye.